I wonder, what will it be like when Jesus returns? Anybody else wonder that? Yeah. I mean, we're curious, we're excited, we're dreading it, you know, all at the same time. And while we catch glimpses of it in Scripture, we won't truly fully know until Jesus returns, and then we will see him as he truly is, and we will fully know him. He will fully, you know, as he already fully knows us, and we'll know each other. And, you know, as I think about this, people have wondered about what this will be like for ages. They wonder what that will be like, and they wonder, what happens when we die? What will eternal life look like? You know, and often our imaginations sometimes are so vivid and elaborate and so incredible that it seems unbelievable. And then other times our imagination is so boring and dull, it's not invitational. In our world today, we have a growing argument by people saying that there is no resurrection. I imagine a lot of this is the result of people who are no longer Christian or never were. And even among Christians, there's a growing belief that there is no resurrection, that there is no heaven, that there is no eternal life. That when you die, that's it. It's not a new argument. It's been around since before Christ. In fact, a group of Jews known as the Sadducees made this same argument. They didn't believe in a resurrection, and Jesus told them, you don't believe because you don't understand. You misunderstand the Scriptures. And then it comes back around for the Apostle Paul because he was facing the same criticism, the same argument with the ancient church of Corinth. And so he makes an argument for the resurrection. And here in our passage today, this goes actually back to the beginning of chapter 15. He lays out his reason for the resurrection. He says, after the crucifixion and death and burial of Jesus, he was dead. But then he rose to life. And Jesus' resurrection was witnessed by Peter and the other apostles and many other disciples and over 500 followers. And they saw him with their own eyes. They touched him with their own hands. They heard his voice with their own ears. And they gave their lives for him. So, the resurrection is real. And Paul lays out that Jesus was the first to be resurrected, and that we are to follow. However, he goes back into this argument mode saying, hey, if there is no resurrection of the dead, well, then Christ hasn't been raised either. And if Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is useless. Your faith is useless. In other words, if there is no resurrection, then our life of faith is pointless. It's in vain, and we might as well just go home. Thank you for not leaving. For the Corinthians, their denial of the resurrection was based on an aversion to the idea that God could do anything with the dead, that the body could be reanimated after death. They didn't think that was possible. They believed that God could do amazing things in the power of life and the power of with his power in the life of the living, that he could affect us in great ways like that. But they didn't believe that after the body was dead, anything else could be done. Paul strongly rebukes them. And using seed and flesh and glory as a metaphor, he explains resurrection is not resuscitation, as we see Jesus bring several people back to life in the New Testament. No, resurrection is not about our dead corpse. Instead, resurrection is about transformation into a new and glorious state. It's a resurrection to a spiritual body. It's a resurrection where we get to ask, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, hell, where is your sting? And then we get to proclaim Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says all of this is offered to us by God's grace. And then he encourages us, calling us beloved brothers and sisters, saying that you must stand firm and unshakable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor for the Lord is not for nothing. He encourages us to persevere. He encourages us, the church, the saints of God, to persevere. He encourages us to persevere because we have God's grace that enables us and helps us to persevere. So we persevere in the midst of loss. We persevere when people say stupid stuff to us after the loss of a loved one. I mean, let's be clear. God did not cause your loved one to get sick. God did not bring this on you and your family or your loved one. God did not need another angel. And God's will was not for you or your loved one to get sick, to have an accident, to contract a disease, to get an infection, or to die, because that's not how God works. And when life happens, we turn to God, and we forgive, and we persevere. Because we live in a fallen and broken world, and God can take our circumstance, God take your circumstance, and use them for something good, something beautiful, something bigger and greater than you or I or any of us can do on our own. We persevere because God is constantly with us in working with us. By that, I mean this is how God works, through God's grace. God is inviting us in, not just a few elect, but all people into the faith. God is inviting all people in to experience God. God is inviting us in, and you in, and them in, to know and to experience God in a deeper, real way. And God's grace is working in us and in you to transform us, to transform you, to transform our heart and our mind and our life. God is working in us to make us new from the inside out. And then God's grace is working through us, through me and through you. God is working through you to help you be more like Christ, to help you imitate and emulate Jesus. That God is working through you to help you persevere through everything this world throws at you, so that you can be an example for your family and for your friends and for your coworkers or your classmates or anybody that you hang around, that you can be an example for them. God is working through you so that you can be a conduit for God's grace to them and to invite other people to experience God. And it's important to know that God's grace is open to all and it's affecting all. That God is working for the good of those who love God. Do you love God? Amen. Then God is working for your good. And even if you don't love God, even if you don't know God, then you need to know God's love, because God is working in your life to help you know who God is, to help you experience God's love. And once you know God's love, then you cannot help but to love God. And some of us may be thinking, oh, God couldn't possibly love me. I've done too much. There's been too much stuff that's happened in my life or that I've done or committed in my life. There's no way God could love me. I want you to know that even at your worst, God loves you. And there is nothing you can do about it. You cannot earn God's love or buy it or even steal it. It is God's gift to us. In fact, God loves you so much that he knew what you would do and say on your worst day, and he sent Jesus anyway. He has proven his love for you. and Jesus persevered for you. In Revelation, we hear a message that is repeated over and over, that those who persevere will be victorious. But then we see in Revelation 7:9, where John has this vision of a crowd of saints that was gathered together at the throne of God that was too great to number. And they're shouting for a victory, for God's victory, for the Lamb of God's victory. That's the victory of Jesus Christ over evil and sin and sickness and disease and poverty and oppression and death. And now, through Christ, that's your victory. And as Christians, our work is to model for the world what Christ looks like. We are models to the world of what it looks like to face hardship, in evil, in peril, as we persevere with God's grace. Your perseverance is a message to the world about the reality of the resurrection. Because that's our future. That's your future. That we are the living saints. And we persevere. And someday, we will join that great crowd of saints who have gone on before us. And that's why we celebrate this day. We celebrate it with our family, with our friends, with our sisters and brothers, and with a great cloud of witnesses that we cannot see. But someday, we will see them again. Amen.